This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We move into stoppage time at the end of the game. Here's a chance for Villa, maybe, with Ross Barkley! Unbelievable! Ross Barkley with a cracker! As we move into stoppage time, are Villa about to maintain their 100% record in the Premier League?
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. Your non-glory hunting podcast, the podcast that dedicates itself to the invincibles of the 2020/21 season. Joining me for some post-match reflections on a last gasp win, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome back.
Hello, thank you very much.
And Mr. Phil Shaw.
Hello.
We are returning from Match Club. We're doing this show to add to the one I've just put out. It's just to keep it up to date with some Leicester reflection as the games come thick and fast. And we are obviously playing Leeds on Friday night. So we'll get this up and then do a proper show after Leeds. But do go to episode 118 to catch up on the real full-length show, which features Underrated or Overrated with Stephen Warnock and Jean McCoon, as well as an update on everything that's been happening over the last couple of weeks. Right, on to the Leicester game. We have a first 11, which picks itself at the moment, so no surprises there. Leicester, few men down. Vardy was out. There was some talk that he would play some part of the game. Madison started off on the bench, so he was expected to make some kind of at least a cameo appearance. So it was set up for a Villa win, but the game was a lot more cagey, and it was a game that's a different Villa now, isn't it? It's like they respected us, and we're going into these games like 50-50.
It was just a really competitive game, wasn't it? I mean, it's to get a win against a good side in a sort of smash and grab fashion, having just dismantled the champions, shows two very, very different ways that you can win against, very good teams. It's a it's a real positive. It's a very different statement to make against Liverpool, but it's still a really strong statement to make, I think.
Yeah, when you're going to win the league, all the teams that win leagues always get injury time winners. It's a good sign. It's a good sign. Phil, are you believing?
Yes. Some people that might know me might think that's a shock, but no. I mean, if you can't get excited for a 4-game winning start with the league in the state it is in this year, with other teams' defences and things, then you're watching the wrong game. I mean, it is there for the taking, so take it.
I mean, we've won 6 of the last 8 games across the 2 seasons, haven't we, in the league? You can't argue with that form.
As somebody said, I think it was in Match Club, but we seem to be the only team that's learnt how to defend.
Yeah, and it's like it was a phrase I probably overused a lot the year we got promoted and last year. We just look like a team. We've got our shit together now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're switched on. I mean, that was the first game out of the 4, I would say, that both teams were switched on to the same level. It was really competitive from the first whistle.
I think I said on the episode 118, do not be surprised by what we potentially could achieve this season, because we joke about winning the league, you know, we joke about challenging for the league, but the one thing that keeps us based in reality is there is a lack of depth in our squad, and we're one or two injuries away from being seriously compromised. But at the moment, it's all good. Going into the game, it's that Villa Rewards thing, Pride Points, where you can they do some competitions and you can select a player for each game and you get points if they perform well. I chose Ross Barkley because I thought, because he wasn't at the any international break involvement, and I thought he'd get 2 weeks to catch up, you know, with Smith, you know, get him up to speed. But post-match interview, he was talking about he was 50-50 for the game, and he was dedicating the gold to the physio, wasn't he? So it was quite surprising because he was a little bit off. I was expecting a bit more during the game, but still strong enough to play the full 90 and then pop up in the injury time.
Yeah, it's just, it was, you could see the quality in that finish in injury time. I mean, you could compare it to the way McGinn played just before he got injured last season. It was, Barkley even said himself there, him and McGinn sort of interchanged positions there. So he sat deep, yeah. McGinn went on. And like we said before, to have the options to do that now, it's fantastic.
I mean, ultimately, you know, if you're going to improve as a side, you need your big players to turn up in the big moments.
Yeah,
and so far they have.
I mean, speaking of big players, Jack Grealish came back. I thought those two games sitting in the crowd watch. Well, there's no crowd there, but you know what I mean. Sitting on the bench for the England games, that would have revved up his desire to get back and play for Villa. And he played like that. He was like a man possessed at time, but it kind of he was guilty of overplaying, and there was a couple of breaks there where there was like Watkins free on, was it when he was charging down the middle and Watkins was out on the left or the right?
Yes, he was out, yeah. Watkins went left, yeah.
Alternately, he could have played it the other way, and he did hang on to the ball and entered traffic a couple of times. I think I said in Match Club that when he came back from the England squad, this was in some interview he did, somebody asked him, you know, who's the best player in the England squad, or words to that effect, or who's impressed him the most. And he said he was saying to Dean Smith that Sancho actually, he almost like dribbles into trouble to see if he can get out of it. And there was a bit of that with from Grealish against Leicester, because there was opportunities where he could have released it. At the same time, he did some miraculous stuff, don't get me wrong. But at other times, sometimes the simple ball was on, or he didn't pull the trigger when he had a chance.
Yeah, I think our sort of decision-making in those real key moments in the final third was just a little bit off, whereas I think against Liverpool, it was like, you know, every time we got into the final third, we just struck gold. I mean, you're going to get games like that, but it's, you know, it's great that really Barclays was the only real open shooting opportunity we made in the game, where he thought, well, the shot is definitely on here, and he's buried it.
Because we didn't have a shot on target in the first half, mainly because it was just that last ball. We kind of fluffed our lines on it. When Maddison came on there, I thought that was a turning point. I think Phil mentioned it, that suddenly the game looked open. Leicester were obviously looking at, right, let's get the win. Let's try to get snatch the win here. So Maddison coming on would have opened it up for Villa. I mean, obviously he's a danger. Leicester suddenly a live threat. But at the same time, I think suddenly they've been drawn in a bit more and open more to the counter.
Yeah, definitely. Because before that, the two teams were cancelling each other out. It was almost as if two formations, two teams that want to play exactly the same way, and two teams of equal quality, which is very nice to see considering what we've been through against Leicester in previous seasons. Then once, obviously, Maddison came on, they took off, I think it was Pratt that took off, and it just opened up like a whole channel through the middle, and you've seen both Leicester and ourselves there just starting to break through the middle. But if anything, we, in those last 10 minutes, we broke far more than Leicester. I mean, there was other chances as well.
Yeah, we said at the time that, you know, at what point do you, when you get sort of the last 20 minutes away at Leicester, do you stick or do you twist? And this was one of those ones where actually I think Villa just, they got the balance just right, where they still managed to push without sort of overexerting themselves. And then when they got the opportunity to go, McGinn, Barkley would really drive on, and obviously Barkley picks the ball up in a great position, and you know you fancy a player like that from that range.
Just before that, Traore came on and actually had a chance with that header, and that looked like you know, the last chance, but he was looking pretty tidy without doing anything, you know, over and above. He was looking pretty tidy, but you thought that was the final chance when he had a chance with that header. But he looks like at least he's somebody we bring on, and it's not just a token gesture sub, if you know what I mean.
No, I think he's another option, isn't isn't he? And I think, you know, Trezeguet put in a brilliant 80-minute performance. It's possibly didn't get some of the end product that he would have liked, but for sheer hard work and application,
yeah,
he was one of the mans of the sort of the real unsung heroes and one of the men of the match. I would say, you know, it will go under the radar to a certain extent, but I thought he was, you know, really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, like him and Cash on that right hand side. Yeah. I mean, this, you know, when you look at Liverpool. How are they the team that they are and winning the Champions League and the league? It's because they will outwork you, as well as, you know, having great players. They will also outwork you. So when you got players like Trezeguet giving, you know, putting in shifts like that and Cash, this is the recipe of success.
Well, we earned the right, didn't we? You know, sometimes you have to go away from home against good teams and you have to sort of battle. And, you know, Matty Cash put in a great shift. I thought on the other side, Matt Target did. The two centre-backs did. I thought Martinez, yet again, you know, he had, I think, all the saves he had to make, you would expect him to make. But everything he did with a cool calmness and a,
you know, as they say, he was doing his job.
Doing his job, did it well. And you look through the team and they were all, you know, it was another solid team performance with a couple of little, you know, sprinklings of quality when we needed it.
I mean, some audacious stuff from Grealish. But
the back heel from Jack in the first half, where he sort of pulls the right back and the winger out to the touchline, turns them round and almost turns them back in on themselves and slips in Target, doesn't he?
Yeah, there was one in the second half as well when he set Barkley up. He managed to beat four players and get it into the box and just slide it through to Barkley. He was unlucky when he got a shot blocked, but, you know, people shouldn't... Even we're surprised by it, and we watch him every week. He's really starting to catch the eye. He's in a very rich vein of form there, so hope it keeps on, as long as people don't lunge into horror tackles on him like they did in the first half.
There's the famous, I think it's from 1986 World Cup, when Argentina played Belgium, and there's a famous picture of Maradona taking on about six or seven players. And at times it was like that. Grealish was like surrounded by four, five, six Leicester players once he got near the edge of the box. And it's kind of ridiculous because he'll do pull some tricks out. That's what I was saying about Sancho. It's almost like Grealish was trying it. It was like, right, I'm going to run into these four players, see if I can get through them. You do some like little turn trick, get through two of them. But you think, yeah, that's all well and good. But sometimes just the simple ball gives you the better result. People on Twitter saying world-class, genius, incredible. But there was no end product there. And that's like the kind of balance that, one hand, it's like genius and you love it. And that's why, you know, you want to be there to witness this. I mean, I was going to say, if you're at the ground, that's why you pay your ticket money. But, you know, we're not obviously doing that.
Or if you're online, that's why you pay, in inverted commas, to watch it.
Yeah, not that you would do such a foolish thing. Maybe you did, I don't know. But at the same time, you know, it's like you got your Kevin Richardsons back in the day who... You couldn't remember one great thing that he did, but he was the guy that made the other players play because he did the simple things right. And sometimes it's, you know, it's a balance with Grealish, because you can be world-class because you've got a little 2-second clip of skinning four Leicester players, but nothing ended, you know, there was no result at the end of it. So it's kind of a balance. You need to be doing effective stuff as well as the showboating.
I mean, the great thing is he's doing it consistently now, isn't he? Every time he's getting on the field, he is running the game, and that's what we wanted to see sort of post-COVID in that you know, the very sticky period just after the restart. But he's, since the start of the season, and as we sort of said, you know, after he got his England call-up, it just feels like a weight's been lifted off his shoulders.
They were looking at him as if he's on another level, and they were running scared most of the time. And that is kind of interesting. It's not like, oh, that's Jack Grealish, he's a tricky player, we better put two men on him. This was like somebody, as you said, was running the game.
Well, and you're seeing the difference it makes to the way he can play when you're getting a fully fit, firing McGinn, who, you know, had a pretty good game on his birthday. Happy birthday to him. When you've got Barkley as a willing runner, and then Louise, who's just solid in the number six role. And as Phil's mentioned numerous times, Luiz has got that little bit of shithouse about him now, where he will have a niggly foul and he'll get a yellow card every now and then. And if we're going to mention shithousery, you have to mention the Matty Cash incident where he yanked down Harvey Barnes. Cash has made the mistake, tried to shepherd the ball out. Harvey Barnes has got round him, and he's not only got, you know, he knows he's gone past him. He grabs one hand of his shorts, realizes he's going to get booked anyway. So he just says, he goes, yeah, fuck it, I'll just go with both.
Yeah, grabs him with both hands. Louise, early doors, I said in Match Club at half time, you know, if Villa were breaking, and I think it was like two or three times, Louise was one of the furthest forward Villa players. And I was kind of intrigued, where was he actually playing? You know, Ross Barkley said he started off as a number 10 and then switched from McGinn. So I was just wondering where initially Luiz was set up, because you saw him always on the end of the Leicester penalty box. And you expect him to be a lot deeper than that.
Maybe he's getting carried away after being away playing with Brazil and Neymar and all. He's just still in the samba spirit.
There was a lot of quite interesting sort of interchanging between the Villa midfield, really, where they were all kind of, they'd all move around, swap positions, but actually they'd all hold the shape really well. That was something that the commentators were picking up on, that actually right from the word go, when we didn't have the ball, our shape was superb.
You look at Luiz and he is a threat going forward, and he's, you know, he's obviously skillful as well. So he can, let's say if he had a massive injury crisis, he could play a number 10, I would venture.
I think he could play anywhere in the middle of the park.
Mm-hmm. You'd say the same as Ross Barkley, he can play number 8, can play number 10, no problem. McGinn, same thing. So that interchangeability that you just mentioned is a real deal. And sometimes, you know, just little switches, little tweaks, just swapping one or two of the players can, you know, be a difference in terms of getting some competitive edge if it's a stalemate in there.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I thought, interestingly, Watkins was hardly in the game after being almost like dynamite against Liverpool in terms of running the channels and really giving their back four of Liverpool nightmare 90 minutes. But in this game, the new guy, is it Fofana of Leicester? I thought he dealt with him pretty convincingly.
I thought Leicester's back four played pretty well in general. I thought both back fours did, actually. I thought they kind of handled Grealish in difficult circumstances and managed to kind of isolate Watkins pretty well under the high ball. And they didn't play the high line that Liverpool did. And I think that's one thing that teams will probably learn, that there's no point in playing a really high line against Villa because we can just pop it in behind you.
It was Liverpool just basically had their pants pulled down, didn't they?
Yeah, completely.
And Leicester was a completely different
type of pants pulling down exercise. Yeah. Minutes. Two last minute wins against Leicester in a calendar year is pretty satisfying after being dismantled by them twice last year in the league. Very convincingly.
Yeah, I forgot about the other the Trezeguet injury time. They say lightning doesn't strike twice,
and it did this time.
how wrong can you get? I mean, the weird historical fact that made me go, seriously, I didn't think we were that bad. This is the first time since the 1930/31 campaign that we've actually won the first four games of a league season.
Nuts.
We went on to finish second in that top flight. But yeah, like the time when John Gregory, when he's had when he took over from Brian Little and had a storming back end, but it started off the season, we were top at Christmas, were we not?
Yeah, and after beating Arsenal, yeah.
So it was a bit of a, you know, considering we've also won the league as well. This is 1930 we're talking about here. So it's quite astonishing.
I mean, I think it was the start of the the last Paul Lambert season was the last time we won two games away from home back to back and actually kept clean sheets. I mean, that's as big as an achievement. You know, it's a big win, but to keep a clean sheet away from home against a big team is another little sort of weight off our back, because that is something in the last few years Villa have not done very much of, even in the Championship.
Well, with the, like 10-5 minutes to go, I was actually, I mean, normally I'm not one for settling for a point, but I thought this would actually be one of the better nil-nils I've probably seen Villa get in terms of, as you say, the importance of keeping that clean sheet. If it was better than like a 1-1 draw, if we had nil-nil, it's actually pretty useful going forward for the reasons you just said. But it just exemplifies we probably have the only, let's say, the only team who seems to have it together defensively. And that came out of nowhere when you considered last season only Norwich conceded more goals than us.
Yeah, I mean, it's as if we've, in those final few games of the last season, we found the formation that we needed to play and the way we needed to play. And then over the summer, the transfers were slotted in. We're right, strengthen that position, but keep the same formation and keep the same style of play and just slot in the sort of the finishing touches.
Yeah. And you know, when we signed Ross Barkley, we knew that was like a marquee signing. And he scored in each of his games. And as you know, the BBC stats put out, that's as many as he's managed in his last 42 games for Chelsea.
Well, to go and buy two players of the quality of Barkley and Martinez and to get them in a really sort of hungry frame of mind, I think that can't be underestimated. You know, we spent a lot of money on Martinez, but he looks like a good investment. And a loan deal for a player of, you know, a calibre of Ross Barkley, to get him on loan is pretty much unheard of, really.
Yeah.
Because normally a player like that would go on loan abroad. They wouldn't really go, you know, to a team who at the moment are above Chelsea in the league.
I mean, we were joking in Match Club about the title, and I was saying this is kind of a perfect storm, but there is a certain element of a perfect storm to this, because Ross Barkley, if he fires on all cylinders, it's going to be difficult to keep him. Douglas Luiz, is it if he's suddenly, like, he's playing for Brazil and he's like the real man, are Manchester City going to exercise whatever dodgy clause they have to buy him back at a, you know, reasonable rate? So we may lose those two players. So this, you know, let's make the most of what's going on here. I mean, as we said, just if we got a striker in, because Keenan Davis is injured at the moment, just to give us that option, like a game like this where it's nil-nil, it's stalemate, and then you're going into the last 5 or so minutes, that's when you know, you could have subbed off Watkins or given him an extra man up there with him. And we don't have that dimension, but our midfield, I think, is solid as a rock.
It's almost like make hay where the sun shines. I mean, this is, like you said, it's a perfect storm. If we want to do anything, this is like a golden opportunity. This is the gift this season has been given to us, because other teams are involved in Europe, and who knows if they have to quarantine or anything when they come home. We could end up playing some of these bigger sides that are involved in Europe in a weakened state. So you have to take advantage of it. We may never get this chance again.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a perfect storm. There's been a precedent before it with Leicester, and we've got two of the guys who know everything about that. So we've got that insight. So, you know, I think somebody said, Richard Keys on beIN Sport had said, if you'd said to Villa now, if you offered them 17th, they would take it. Basically, he hasn't got the memo yet that Villa are a decent team. That thinking, that is like just dumbness.
Well, it's just ignorance, isn't it?
Ignorance is a better word, exactly. And Andy Gray corrected him and said they should be going for top 10. If you actually study the game, if you looked at the league, if you looked at the games that have happened at the moment, defence is all over the place. No teams, Liverpool are even looking at themselves in the mirror now after what we did to them, going, what's going on?
And they've lost one of their talismen, especially at the back.
Yeah, no, exactly. So we've defragged the old champions and they've lost their main man.
And their goalie, of course.
Yeah. And who else? You know, Spurs might be getting something together, but I don't think they're as cohesive as us. I mean, maybe Bale will spark into Magic Man again.
Well, he came off the bench and they conceded 3, so he can't be that good.
But is he doing anything at this stage of his career above and beyond what Grealish is doing? I don't think so. Manchester City trying to work out what their motivation is, I would venture. Manchester United, I mean, defence is a joke.
Man, you are treading water, aren't they, at the moment?
Wolves, not the legends they thought they were. And they've lost a key man in Jota. So I thought certain teams like Chelsea, Manchester United would improve this season, but they've started off I mean, it's early days. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. But what we're saying is there is a spectrum here of potential, and we have got that perfect storm moment where we have, out of nowhere, suddenly got a midfield that Grealish can look around himself and feel like quite happy that he's at Villa and can think about the possibilities of how he can express himself and take Villa into deeper waters in terms of achievement. Right, I think that's enough before we start making any crazy statements and getting giddy with this. But this was a test. I mean, I think the Liverpool game's an anomaly, so you don't know where we really are. But this was a real litmus test in terms of what we can do, as we were just saying about that, the defensive, the clean sheet was a massive thing as well. And we can get, you know, dig those results out. And in Barkley, you've got another match winner. And he's scoring goals now after having, you know, bit of a shitty return for Chelsea if he's only got two in the last 42 appearances. Right, so anyway, any closing thoughts here? We are, this is a quick reaction. We will be up and at it at Leeds. That should be a barrel of laughs, the old Leeds game. That's the one that, apart from, I mean, Liverpool, I would have loved to have been there, but Leeds game, I think, is a fun because both fans have obviously got a little bit of rivalry left over from the Championship and the crazy things that happen. But I think Leicester was a test of character, and I think we passed it, and we've got a little bit more resolve than I thought we had. Leeds, I think you expect to beat Leeds now, do you not?
Well, it's a very competitive game. It'll be a good one.
Be lively, yeah.
Just swat them away like an annoying fly they are.
I mean, the good news in terms of the Leeds game is Leeds have to play Monday night against Wolves, and you know that's not going to be an easy game, so they have one less day, and it's quite a tight turnaround to be playing two weekday games. Monday and a Friday is not ideal for them.
My parting gift will be just enjoy the process, considering 4 years ago today, we went to Reading and won away from home for the first time in 438 days. And now we've won two on the bounce and we're second in the league. And
my parting gift is complete reset. Forget about 17th. Tell Richard Keys to fuck off. Think about what we can achieve this season. And that's like 10th upwards in terms of if the title race doesn't quite work out, if we can get into Europe, that'll be a bonus. What's the saying? Aim for the stars and you might hit the moon. Is that the saying?
It is the saying, David.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Right. Phil Shaw, any words of wisdom?
There's nothing really to say. I mean, like I said, if you don't enjoy where we're at the minute, football's the wrong game for you. So go into every game thinking we're going to win this game.
Yeah. And don't tell us that, oh, it's only four games. If you can't read the tea leaves of what's happened so far, and you can't read what the first 11 is and how they're playing, and you know, this is in a team in its infancy as well, by the way, the potential is potentially scary. Just want to say thank you for everybody who joined us and hung around to injury time in Match Club. It's good when you're a winning team now. It's sort of quite mellow, isn't it, Match Club?
It doesn't feel quite so much like group therapy, does it?
Yeah, no, exactly. And half expected to win. Wasn't a big shock apart from Jags, who kept repeating every 5 minutes. How did we win that game? Bit of a miracle. Thank you very much, as always, to the My Old Man Said patrons, and that includes everybody in Match Club. And that is one of the big perks, is everybody gets to all the patrons hang out in Match Club for these lockdown games. Thank you very much, Matthew Handley, for signing up as the latest patron since I put the podcast out, today, actually, the episode 118. If you want to join us in Match Club and become a My Old Man Said patron and get extra podcasts, etc., please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link for more details. Thank you very much. Right, until Battle of the Leeds, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.